2019 with His Holiness Rompad Swami Maharaj. On behalf of Sirbis and myself, I'd like to seek the blessings of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai, Gauranithai, Panchatattva, and all the assembled Vaishnavas in Srila Prabhupada, so that we may serve you in increasing the quality of our chanting and giving everyone some practical tips to focus our mind when chanting. So this one is called One Mantra at a Time, and we're going to start out with a question to see if all of you are paying attention. Okay? So, why do we chant japa? Oh, the answer is right there. The answer is supposed to come on later. So, anyone, still, there's anyone has more reasons that we chant japa, please raise your hand. Yes, Mataji? To become happy, yes. What? Yes, Prabhuji?
Because we have
been asked by the spiritual master to chant. Yes, what Mataji said, to become happy. Why is it? Why do we become happy when we chant? Anyone? Why do we become happy when we chant?
Because we are connected to Krishna.
Because exactly. So, we're chanting because we have faith in our Guru's instruction that my Guru is leading me according to what Shastra said to take me closer to Krishna. And why do I feel happiness when I'm chanting? Because that is our constitutional position. That's the soul's need, right? Because the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna, and when the soul comes away from Krishna, then it feels so much suffering in the material existence. But when we're connecting ourselves to Krishna again, then we're feeling happy. So let's see some things what chanting is not. So chanting is not, the holy name over there, it says, is not a vending machine. We don't chant the holy name for the fulfillment of our material necessities. And we also don't chant the holy name because someone forced us to. Someone told me to chant the holy name, so I'm just chanting, and I have no other feeling for the holy name. We have faith in Guru's instruction, because we know that Guru is saying it according to Shastra. But we're not just saying, okay, someone told me, I don't believe in the holy name, it's just trash, but since someone told me, I'm doing it. Right? So we know the power of the holy name. We know, we identify the need to chant. We know that we have a need to chant. Right? So that's why we're chanting. And every time we chant, what happens is our mind wants to take us to every other place in the world when we're chanting, right? Even when we're doing other stuff, the mind's happy. It's not worrying about anything. And right when you want to sit down and chant, then the mind will start going all over the place. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us some carrots. Like, you know when the donkey, you have to put the burden on the donkey so you have a carrot attached to it and then it's walking and it's walking because it's seeing the carrot. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right in the first verse of Sri Sikshashtaka, which is the 8 instructions given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which take us step by step to the perfection of chanting, that Shuddhanam stage we're all looking for. So right in the first verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives these carrots to us. He's saying, look what the holy name can give you. So these are some inspirations for us when we're chanting and our mind is going all over the place. Then we can tell our mind, this is what I'm going to get when I'm, like, if I chant. And like Maharaj said in the morning, since we're not all of a sudden this elevated devotee, like, okay, Krishna, whatever you want, at least for, okay, I'm going to go back to Godhead. Let's do it, right? So we're going to go through and let's say the verse together. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreyah kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrita Swadhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glory to the Shri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So we'll go through it in parts. Cheto darpana marjanam cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years. Cheta means the heart. Darpana means mirror, and marjanam means the cleansing process. So as it says over there, the jiva is nityabaddha, or eternally conditioned. So imagine a mirror which is lying around since lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. How much dirt would that mirror have? And that's our heart. So we have a lot of dirt in our heart, and that's why we cannot perceive Krishna, who is already sitting in our heart. So for us to perceive the Krishna, feel Krishna's presence in our heart, all that dust has to be, all that dirt has to be cleaned. And the Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the holy name, is doing this cleansing process. And not only does it clean, but what's it doing? It's cutting the tree at its roots. So why did we come to this material world, anyone? There's one reason why we came to this material world, basic reason. Yes. This kid, wow! You can come here and speak too. He took it really. Okay, you can stand. You can speak later. No. Yes, but that is the accurate reason. Because we had these two things, Ichha and Dvesha. Ichha means desire. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ichha Dvesha Samuttena. So we had Ichha, which means desire. And so what was that desire? Exactly like he said. Why is everyone loving Krishna? I want to be at the center too. So Krishna said, okay, this is the place for you to be, or so-called be at the center. Right? But now we know that Krishna is the only enjoyer. So then there was a second component. It's the dvesha part. Because there's already a person who's the supreme enjoyer, that's Krishna. So now we don't like Krishna. So since we were envious towards Krishna, we came here. So what the holy name does, it takes off that ichha and dvesha part in our heart, so we don't commit the same mistake again. Because we came and then now we know the problem we're falling into. So when that root is cut by the chanting process, then we're sure not to make those mistakes again. Because the tendencies of ichha and dvesha are still in our heart, and the holy name is cleansing those tendencies. The next one, bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam, extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. So anyone been near a forest fire? Anyone? Okay, good. So a forest fire is really hot. So even from really far away, you can feel it. And when we see a forest fire, maybe some firefighters can come and put some water on it and put it down a little bit. But the only thing that can completely extinguish it, what is that one thing? Rain, a downpour of rain. And the holy name is that downpour of rain on our material existence. And only the holy name can do that trick. Nothing else can do that. And this is the long term. Because we've been in this cycle of repeated birth and death for who knows when? Since when, right? The jiva again. Since time immemorial, there was never a time calculated that the jiva came into being at this part, right? So we've been conditioned in so many lifetimes, and it's this cycle of repeated birth and death. So what this holy name is doing, it's ending that cycle. And also, meaning of this Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, it's also shielding us every moment in our life. As we're chanting, it's shielding, it's a bodyguard. Because we have sins which are neutralized by chanting, but like yesterday Maharaj said, those tendencies are still there. Namabhas, what we're doing, doesn't take away the tendency. So we have these vasanas, the residual tendencies in our hearts since previous lifetimes. And when those residual tendencies come in contact with material association, they tend to rise. So what this holy name is doing, it is explained in this line, Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam, means it's shielding us from getting affected by this material association, which might in turn give a rise to our tendencies of being the enjoyer again. So next one, Ish Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. So like Maharaj said yesterday, the first Cheto Darpanam Arjanam and Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam are the stage of material cessation. Everything material is completely zero, like in Buddhism. But now, look at the bonuses we got. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. White lotus of our good fortune spreads its leaves and blossoms in the cooling moonbeams of Krishna's holy name. Such a nice example. So a white lotus flower, it blossoms in the moonshine. So similarly, the white lotus flower is our spiritual identity with Krishna, our swarupa, or the understanding of our swarupa. So after material cessation, like Buddhism says, it's not nothingness. That's when everything starts, really. That is the awakening to our real spiritual identity, our relationship with Krishna. So here, when we understand that we are parts and parcels of Krishna, and not only theory understanding, but when we can feel that relationship in our life, it awakens that, the holy name. And the next one is Vidya Vadhu Jivanam, life of the wife of knowledge. So that's the literal translation of Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. And Srila Prabhupada translates it as the life of all knowledge. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that just as the wife follows the husband, knowledge follows chanting. Maharaj said in the morning, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haitukam. So everything follows. So when we do bhakti, we see the example of Haridas Thakur. He was seen in the social order as a mlecha. He was in the social order a very low-class person, and Haridas Thakur says, I am illiterate. But he was the Namacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purposely made him the Namacharya to show that there is no qualification needed to chant the holy name of the Lord. And if you chant the holy name of the Lord, all knowledge is yours. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself went to Haridas Thakur and said, please explain to me the glory of the holy name, right? And then from Haridas Thakur's mouth came this scripture, that scripture, the other scripture. And how did Haridas Thakur know all that? Just by chanting the holy name. So that vidya it's talking about here is right there, it's on the right. Understanding that we're not the body and we are the eternal spirit souls. And then at the final stage of that knowledge, then we realize our sambandha, our relationship with Krishna. Next one. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. So what are the three characteristics of the jiva and Krishna, which the jiva has the same qualities? Three things. Sat-chit and ananda. So the jiva and ananda means bliss. So the bliss is the natural quality of the living entity. But ever since we came into the material world, can anyone say that we've been blissful, at least all the time? No. Well, why is that? That is our nature, to be blissful. And that's why we're always looking for bliss. Vedanta Sutra confirms that the jiva is always hankering for happiness. But we're always frustrated because we can't find that happiness. Because our happiness lies in our eternal service. As an eternal servant of Krishna, in our relationship with Krishna, we experience that ananda. And in this material world, we're looking for it and we're feeling frustrated. But when we come in contact with this holy name, even in the material world, the holy name gives us a taste of that bliss. Next one is Pratipadam Purnamrita Swadhanam, enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So we see here a picture of a mirage. So when people are in a desert, then they see mirages and they run after mirages and they think it's true. And finally, what is it? They're going to run and run and run and there's no water. It's just more pain in their legs, right? And they're getting frustrated again and again. But we're so, and that's exactly what's happening to us, isn't it? We're going to work, coming back from work, and boss is yelling at us, our family is yelling at us, and there's no satisfaction, no matter how much we do, right? But in this holy name, it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. And when we taste that nectar, it's explained by the acharyas that we not only forget these so-called material happinesses, but even the Brahmananda, the highest stage of happiness experienced when you're a Brahmagyani. Who's one person who was a Brahmagyani? Shukadeva Goswami. Right from his birth, he just took birth as a 16-year-old boy and walked out. And he was self-realized soul, Brahmagyani. He was in that happiness. And Vyasadev, he sent his disciples. And the disciples went to the forest and recited Srimad Bhagavatam. And the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam was so sweet that the Brahmananda, that stage, the Brahmagyani, Shukadeva Goswami, he got attracted by that nectar. And he was following that sound. He came right back to the ashram and said, "Where is this nectar coming from?" And he explained, and Vyasadeva explained to him the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're getting to drink this nectar. And when we come to that stage of perfection in chanting, we'll taste this nectar. And imagine, just thinking about that, we should be enough to inspire us in our chanting. Because after so much frustration, and just nothing but frustration, when we taste the nectar, it's going to feel really, really good. So keep chanting and then we'll taste the nectar. And the last one is Sarvatma Snapanam. Holy name bathes the soul and cleanses it of its gross and subtle contamination. So what the holy name does, again, is it's completely from the inside out cleansing us and putting us as we came back from Krishna in front of Krishna again. And Krishna's always, as usual, ready to accept us. And the holy name will deliver us in the hands of Krishna. Okay? So these are some of the inspirations for us to chant. And even though there are these inspirations, we always have challenges. So instead of talking about those challenges, let's see some of those challenges. So there'll be a nice skit where there'll be a devotee chanting and the mind trying to do its usual business. So let's watch as it goes. The skits go on.
Hare Krishna. So today we're going to be exploring the challenges of the holy name. We talk about so much about how important it is to chant the holy name, but rarely do we think about how, the practicality of it and how it affects us in our daily lives. So we wanted to explore this in a skit. So Shreyas Prabhu, if you would come on the stage.
Thank you.
So, just a few minutes. We always explore this in, when we're chanting. We had a long day at work. Oh, I didn't get enough sleep last night. I should just get like a little few minutes. What's the few minutes? And the more we do that, the more we sleep on the lap of Maya. Jeev jago, gora chandra bole. Kota nidra jao Maya. Pisa chira kole. But still, that pisachi is so beautiful for our conditioned soul. We're constantly looking. The mind is constantly saying, just a little bit sleep. But as devotees, we need to be strong. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that one who is not regulated in his sleep and eating, there is no possibility for him to make advancement on the yoga ladder. So we should make ourselves strong to that. We should nurture our bodies and our minds and souls, our three gates to Krishna, in such a way that chanting, that our sadhana is the main practice in our devotional life and in our lives in general. So one tip that I can offer is go to sleep early, get up early. And chant with that kind of dedication. And when you're falling asleep, remember that Krishna has come down in the form of His holy name, Nija Sarva Shakti. With all of His power, He's put into His holy name, and He's coming just to dance on your tongue. Andhra Prabhu once said that chanting, it looks like chanting, but it's not chanting. Chanting is actually Krishna dancing on your tongue. And I find that so inspiring. So we should make it a point to bring all of our energy, all of our Shakti, into seeing Krishna Shakti. So let's explore another challenge and see what we can do about
it. Another attack.
Another attack. Through this challenge as well. We're always bombarded with our mind with so many things to do. There's so many things to do. Oh my God, how will I finish all of these? And especially when you're chanting in the morning or chanting in the night, you think about everything that happened in your day, or you think about everything you have to do. So you're constantly being bombarded with this mind, by this mind of, there's so many things. Rishika explained that our mind is always anxious, so anxious. But if we just calm it down with the cooling sensation of the holy name, then only we can calm it down. So, personally, whenever my exams are coming up, so whenever I'm chanting, sometimes I'll be thinking, oh, I have to study for my math exam, I have to study for calculus, I have to study for physics, I have to study for all of these things. And I know Matajis are always thinking about how to serve their families, there's so much cooking to do, there's so much laundry to do, there's so many chores to do, what am I gonna do? And Prabhuji are thinking, oh my God, I have this big project due in temple, in my office, I have this to do, I have that to do, oh my God, and my kids' grades are not doing that well, so what am I gonna do? So we're always constantly bombarded with this, all of these challenges, all of these things that are going on in our material life, which are a reflection of our conditioned state of being. But in order to truly taste the nectar of the holy name, we should take it one mantra at a time. Take it slow. And remember that that Krishna is always there and is waiting for you to turn to Him. We have this intimate relationship with Krishna, and unless we get our priorities straight, we won't be able to taste the nectar that we are always anxious for. Let's see one more challenge.
This is the hardest one to overcome.
So our mind is always constantly labeling things as being Krishna conscious, as being something that we should be doing. That Srimad Bhagavatam lecture that we have to give next week is something that's Krishna conscious. Everything is Krishna conscious. So we shouldn't be spending our time doing that and not chanting. But we should realize that chanting is our main service. That it is what only through the mercy of Lord Krishna that we are calling to Krishna. Only through His mercy can we really truly focus and truly bring that nectar into our service for Krishna, into all of our spheres of life. The Krishna, our chanting is like a gas station. How many of you commute to work? Commute to work? Revo. So many people. And commute is really long. My dad has like 2 hours commute to back and from his office, and he never leaves. He never leaves the house with a empty tank of gas. He's always there to, his car always has enough fuel to get him to and from. And our Krishna consciousness sadhana, our chanting is like that. We should chant in such a way that we can bring Krishna, we can bring the awareness of Krishna to everything and everything we do. We can see every soul, every little thing, every little detail as something Krishna has planned for us, as something Krishna is looking for us to use in His service. So I'd like to end this part of our skits with that note. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol Prabhuji, what's the project? However high technology is, if Krishna doesn't want it to work, it's not going to work. So now we know the goal, that's Shuddha Naam, the stage of Anya Bhilashita Shunyam chanting, where we have no material desires, as Rupa Goswami explains, and it's just unmotivated, uninterrupted chanting, right? And we also know, like Maharaj said, that there's a big gap between this one, yeah. There's a big gap between where we are at and where we want to go. So we saw some practical steps we can take when the challenges come to get to where we want to go. And we're also going to make sure that we don't go farther away from our goal, right? Like when we want to go to this destination and we're already running late of time, but you make sure you're very cautious not to run into an accident. Because if you run into an accident, you're going to waste a bunch of time, right? So, and you won't get to your destination. Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai. Shri Shri Gauranita ki jai. Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Mai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, this is Nectar of Instruction verse 2 by Srila Rupa Goswami, where these are some of the pitfalls of our Krishna consciousness. These are some things we should be very careful to avoid when we want to get to the stage of Shuddha Naam. Because these are like cutting the legs of our bhakti. If we get into these type of stuff, then we're not going to get any better, but we'll in fact get farther away from our goal. So let's say the verse together. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha. Jana sangascha lolyamcha shadbhir bhaktir vinashyati. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following 6 activities. 1. Eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. 2. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. 3. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. For practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5. Associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6. Being greedy for mundane achievements. So we'll just go through them quickly. First one, atyahara, eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. So how many pairs of shoes do we need? Everyone has a different number for this, right? It's like, it depends. We should make sure that we're not collecting too much of material stuff. And also, Prabhupada says that it refers to collecting too much data, knowledge. Like when you switch on the TV, there's news. News from all over the world. What's happening in this place, in this place, in this place. And you don't need to know all that stuff. Right? We can do without it. So we have to minimize these things while going further in our devotional service. And second one is over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. So it's a fact that mundane things are very difficult to obtain, and that's why it's called the struggle for existence. And it's made like that on purpose, the prison house of the material world, to keep the living entities engaged so they don't have time to think about Krishna. So what we're doing here, the endeavor is going to stay the endeavor, right? We can't do anything about the endeavor. But what has to change is our priority. What is priority? There's a very thin line between endeavor, which everyone has to do, and over-endeavor. So we have to make sure that our sadhana is priority, and because I have to do sadhana, I have to keep my body and soul together. And because I have to keep my body and soul together, I have to endeavor for my maintenance. So that should be the thing. It shouldn't be, I have these plans, so I need this much, and I'm not going to compromise with any less. So I have to endeavor this much because I need this much. And yeah, sometimes sadhana just goes into nothingness, and sometimes it never happens, and sometimes it just disappears. But yeah, I need to get my goals done. And you know what? It's the material world. We have to endeavor. No, it's not an excuse. We have to be satisfied with less. So we have to see. Okay, like, I'm not going into anyone's personal, it depends on the circumstance. But okay, if I'm gonna earn 100k suppose, and I have to spend 12 hours at work every day, and I have to chant like, or I'm gonna earn 50k every year, and I can chant like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Then we should see, okay, which one's more important to me? Is it just, okay, if we think, yes, I need to work and of course I need to spend 12 hours and I can't chant properly. So that's the over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. And then it's, okay, what's important? It's my relationship with Krishna. So it's okay, a little less, a little more here and there. But if I'm getting to spend my time with Krishna, so we have to look like that. And third one, is talking unnecessarily, prajalpa, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. So this is a question that comes up a lot. We go into the world and we have to talk about mundane subject matters. So when you go to work, you have to talk to your boss about your meeting. And so what do we do about that? So there's one answer, which is like Maharaj gave in the morning. In a devotee's life, there is no two things. That here's my Krishna conscious life, and here's my materialistic life. It's all Krishna conscious. Because your life revolves around Krishna, right? So, I'm going to work, and I'm earning money, so that I can feed myself and my family, so we all can serve Krishna together. Right? Then your talking with your boss about your meeting is as Krishna conscious as you chanting, right? So that's not what it's talking about here. What it's talking about is getting into mundane subject matters like, oh yeah, wasn't that sports channel good? Or what's happening in this place at this time? And what are, like, politics and stuff like that, you know? Old people who are retired have nothing to do. sit down, play cards, talk about this person and that person, the other person. Or sometimes when we're going in our car, I was noticing this yesterday, we're sitting in our car and the other person behind is honking. And you're commenting about the other person who's honking behind, right? And the other person behind can't hear what you're saying. And you're saying, oh, why do you have to honk? I'm going in my speed limit. You're the one who's impatient, right? Those type of talking are prajalpa. We have to control the tongue there. Because the other person in that car who's honking can't hear us. And all we're doing is spoiling our mind doing that. And mind's just doing it because we have this chatterbox mentality. And Srila Prabhupada said it's like that toad. It does its chatter, and guess what happens? The snake comes and then swallows it. Because the snake then hears, oh, the toad is sitting there. Right? So this, our mouth keeps wanting to talk. So we talk all kinds of nonsense at all kinds of times. So we should always make sure, the thing is, we have to make sure whenever, whatever comes out of our mouth should always be something which is revolving around Krishna. And the next one is fourth, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. So this is a niyamagraha, and this has a twofold meaning. So there's niyama, which means rules and regulations, and agraha means failure to accept, and agraha means enthusiasm to accept. So either the agraha or the agraha, if you combine with niyama, it becomes niyamagraha. So Rupa Goswami is indicating a twofold meaning here. So niyama, if we put it with agraha, which is enthusiasm to follow niyamas, rules and regulations of the material world. So Rupa Goswami is saying, wanting to keep up the live up to the standards of the material world. Like in the material world, if you don't have this type of car, you're garbage. Or if you don't have this model of the iPhone, you're garbage. And if our goals are, yeah, I have to live up to these material standards, then Rupa Goswami says that's a problem. And if we see as the agraha, which is the failure to accept, it's still the word combined, still is the same, niyamagraha, that's failure to accept the scriptural rules and regulations. When we're, that's exactly what these are. These are some of the rules and regulations by Rupa Goswami, and that's why it's really important to follow them. And it's not just following them, but following them knowing why we're following them. It's not just, yeah, someone told me, so I'm doing it, like we said about chanting in the beginning. It shouldn't be blind faith or blind rejection. Here, the second one is blind rejection, which is the worst stage. But it shouldn't be blind faith either. We should be well-versed in scripture, and we should know that scripture is saying it for this particular reason. Next one is five, Janasangha, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. So this again refers to, you can go out, but we should always make sure that we're not taking non-devotee association. When we go, we should give association. Like we see in the example of our founder Acharya. He left Vrindavan where there's that devotee association. And he came to the West where there's no devotees. But he gave his association to everyone and made us all devotees, right? So that's what, whenever we go to anyone, that should be our goal. Giving association, or at least giving a good impression about Krishna consciousness. And last one is being greedy for mundane achievements, lalya. So we should, first of all, basic thing for Krishna consciousness, let's understand that stuff in this material world don't matter. So the only thing which really matters is our relationship with Krishna. So we should only be greedy for that thing. That's what Rupa Goswami is saying here. And more things which we talked about in the morning, so I'll not go into is this, there is no difference between Krishna and his holy name. So when we're chanting, let's be mindful about that. So it's, okay, we invited a guest. And when the guest comes, I'm talking to someone else, or I'm minding my own business, ignoring the guest. That's an insult. So similarly, when we're chanting, right, with the intention that I'm going to chant, Krishna's here. So we don't just ignore Krishna, right, or insult Krishna, offend Krishna. So we should be mindful about that. And here are some practical tips for chanting japa. Chant in the morning, like we, Madhupati Prabhu talked about, it's auspicious time. The modes of material nature are very calm and there's no disturbances. The material world's activity isn't rotating as fast as it rotates in the day. And let's understand that Krishna will take care of all your material necessities if you just surrender unto Him through chanting His holy name. Like we saw there, Krishna says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham, you surrender unto me and I'll take care of you. Don't worry. So let's have that confidence and try to chant without thinking of all the other stuff we have to do.
Krishna sends the solutions before He sends the problems. So He's always ready. When will you see the solution to this, not the problem?
So three is understand that the holy name and Krishna are the same. Four, chant with feelings. Strive for Shuddhanam. We're not at Shuddhanam. And we know we can't get to Shuddhanam by ourselves. So we're praying to Krishna, Krishna, please get me to the stage of Shuddhanam. Then allocate same location every day for japa. It's easier so the mind doesn't think about other places to go to. And there's cry for Krishna, like a baby cries for the mother. So let's try that now. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna, Krishna! Krishna. Hare, Hare!
Hare Rama! Hare Rama!
Rama Rama! Hare, Hare! We have no shelter other than Krishna. We're lost in this material world since many lifetimes. And our only shelter is Him. So let's call out to Krishna in that mood. And here, last one, most important one, the title of this, chant one mantra at a time. Let's be mindful. It's not, don't think about the past mantra you're chanting. Don't go to the future mantra. March talked about it a little in the morning. Just this present mantra, the one I'm chanting now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So listen to the syllables and understand that the only thing that matters is listening to the syllables. Because we shouldn't even be thinking that, okay, I want to make my next mantra better than this mantra. Because while that's happening, the mind is really tricky. It's going to tell you, yeah, I'm just planning to make the next mantra better. But what's really happening is you're not hearing the mantra you're chanting now. So let's just be attentive to hearing the syllables we're chanting. So we're going to do that exercise now. And Surabhi is going to take care of that. So
Hare Krishna. So now that we've seen how difficult it can be to chant and how we can express our love for Krishna through our chanting, we wanted to explore how we can truly chant. What is the right way to chant? She was explaining as a baby cries for his or her mother. So let's see how we can do that, how we can truly do that.
Krishna, 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 Krish
Hare Krishna. Very, very big thank you to Shreyas Prabhu. He really pulled it through. He was the star of our play. So a really, very big Hari Bol for Shreyas Prabhu.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. So, apology for running late by like 20 odd minutes. So it's really good, Rishta and Surabhi and Shreyas. So Rishta, as everyone know, disciple of His Holiness Rupa Swami, and Surabhi, if Neelachal Devi,
Sundarachal
Devi. So disciple of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami. So they are like two wonderful kids we have within our ICNJ. So please bless them so that they can go very far in the spiritual journey. Hari Bol.
So we thank Prem Kishore Prabhuji for engaging us in this service, even though we're not qualified. What? Oh yeah, Prabhuji was all over the place, coming with whenever and wherever he was, we would call him and say, Prabhuji, can you come? And now we have to prepare for this, and then Prabhuji would just run from wherever he is. So we thank Prabhuji for spending so much of his time for this also. Do we? We don't have time, do we?
No.
It's the next one, right?
Ripo.
Sorry, next is the Devkinandan Prabhu's class.